welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Mark, how are you?
Doing good.
Good. You picked a great article this week. It raises some very interesting questions. Published very recently, 2013, volume 42. It begins on page 62. And this is one of those things that I think every single listener can relate to. It is, lots of our patients have multiple medical problems. We know from the literature that when somebody comes in with multiple medical problems, we often ignore routine things, their preventive health care, et cetera, often doesn't get the attention that it might get if they didn't have those problems. This asks a different question. It looks at what happens when guidelines conflict with each other. For example, when one recommends exercise, but the patient actually has a whole nother disease that makes it so that he or she can't exercise. The clinical question that they're asking is, how useful are clinical practice guidelines in managing patients with multiple medical problems? Mark, what did they do? And the methodology here I thought was very interesting, as well as how they went about asking or answering the question.
Yeah, this was a British study, and the Brits have what's called the National Institute for Healthcare and Clinical Excellence, or NICE, they call it. And, you know, here in the U.S., we have the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force that looks at screening and prevention, but we're not tasked to look at treatment or anything like that. And there really is no, other than cholesterol and blood pressure, we really don't have any national endorsed guidelines. It's all from specialty societies. And specialty societies, they tend to focus a lot on their domain and not always look at the entire patient. So these British authors actually were looking at the NICE guidelines, and they looked at them for type 2 diabetes, acute MI, osteoarthritis, COPD, and depression. Really common things we see a lot of and that are often multimorbid. You know, people have more than one of these going on at the same time. At least two-thirds of patients will, with each of these conditions, will also have a comorbidity. So there's a lot of this comorbidity and multimorbidity. So what they did was they pulled out, okay, what are these guidelines telling us to do for these patients? And what they found was quite a bit of variability. Even though these guidelines all came from NICE, there was a lot of variability. Some focused on lifestyle interventions more, some focused on medical or surgical interventions, some focused on a more holistic approach, others were more sort of specialty oriented. So even within this one organization, the groups doing the guidelines had fairly different perspectives. Now, the key part here, and this was a long write-up, and to distill it down in a paragraph here, what they did was they invented a couple of patients. And so they imagined a patient who had all five conditions. Okay, that patient would be required to take 11 drugs, required to. You have to take these based on the guidelines. And another 10 drugs were recommended as optional. There were supposed to be 9 self-care or lifestyle changes. Now, we know how hard it is to do one, let alone 9. Another attend 8 to 10 primary care appointments, multiple appointments for counseling, smoking cessation, pulmonary rehab. So, you know, this person, that's a full-time job to take those medicines, go to all those appointments, make all those changes, go to your Tai Chi class, go to, you know. And then even if you looked at the person who only had 2 conditions, that was, I can't remember exactly which 2, it was 2 of those 5 conditions, 5 medications were required, another 8 were recommended. They'd have to make 6 lifestyle changes, 5 to 8 primary care visits, and attend multiple appointments for smoking cessation and pulmonary rehab. So, you know, we're coming up with these guidelines. They're good in terms of highlighting what works and what doesn't work. But I think as physicians, we still have to think about, you know, how to apply this to our patients, and that, you know, they all the recommendations may not always be appropriate for a given patient.
Excellent. A good, good reminder, good points. If you are doing research in this area, Mark, is there, I mean, let's say you had the government's ear, what would you fund to be able to answer how to do this better? I mean, hard studies.
Yeah, it is, because when you're, if you're doing a randomized trial, what you want is a really clean population, because you want to find 2 groups, you know, placebo and control, or placebo and intervention, and the only thing they differ on is that they have this one condition and they take this one drug for it.
Right.
What increasingly we're seeing is people starting to fund research that's looking at alternative methodologies, not necessarily randomized trials, but using electronic health records and trying to look at, okay, for example, among diabetics, we don't have a lot of randomized controlled trials in diabetics comparing different drugs, insulin versus non-insulin, things like that for long-term outcomes. And so looking at a population of diabetics, say at the Cleveland Clinic, and using their EHR to follow them forward through time, and after adjusting for differences between, the baseline, trying to see what happens. The strength there is it may be generalizability. The weakness is it's less rigorous than a randomized trial. But I think that's one way to start to get at these more complex, multi-morbid patients and, I think prioritizing. I think a lot of times that fifth or sixth or seventh drug is adding very little additional incremental benefit, but it still adds all of the side effects of that drug and all of the cost of that drug. So trying to think about that. It's very hard, and I think we're butting up against the limits of what randomized trials can do because, you can't do a randomized trial finding 5,000 people that have three particular comorbidities. That's really, really hard to do.
And not to mention match those comorbidities same progression.
Somebody has a fourth or they have a different fifth one. Yeah, so.
Right, exactly. Anyways, good. Thanks so much. We'll talk with you next week.
All right.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.